Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan present Point Taken, a podcast connecting you to the sports and pop culture issues you care about and the guests you want to hear more from. Now, here's Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady.
Hey, everybody. Another week, another podcast. And Greg, I don't want to throw you under the bus right off the get-go, but...
It'll be the first time. I don't mean you doing it, but...
I saw what was happening out in the hallway there.
That raises a lot of implications. human resources could be on the phone, right? There wasn't like an assault of any kind.
So I'm just peering out of the door here where we record, and you're standing about to go into the single stall ladies' washroom.
You arrived before me, and I was quite frantic. I threw my stuff down. We saw Eric Prime, both our colleagues from over in the hub on the other side, and I had to go somewhere in a hurry.
You're in a rush.
It was simply across.
I know, and one was in there. So what's the big deal? Why not use it?
So yeah, I just used the ladies' washroom for about the fifth time. Over on this side of the compound, because the men's was locked. It's not some fascination. It's not John Cryer when he gets thrown in Pretty in Pink and he finds out you guys have all sorts of great things that we don't have. There's like couches and Chesterfields and those chairs where you get a massage at the mall that you put money into. Women's washrooms are generally way more nicely decked out.
They are. We look after it. It's a generalization, but you know what? I can't even throw you under the bus for this because I don't blame you. I've done the same with the men's washroom. If you're at a restaurant, it's single stall and someone's in the other one and no one's around, just go to the washroom.
I only did it because I knew it'd be very, very quick and that should make it obvious what I had to do. And then not only was I extremely quick, extremely professional with the hand washing and the soap use and everything, but I also quickly... Now, no one was pulling the door. Well, I don't think women have that phenomenon when you're at a sporting event and there just feels like pressure to go quickly.
There's pressure. That? Oh, please. Women's washrooms at sporting events, at concerts, huge lineups. You got to move. Let's go.
I know there have been studies in other places where they seem to have crises, but like, let's even take the ACC. I wonder, based on what they do for demographics, how they find out how many men, women go to different events, and do they space the washrooms out accordingly? I don't know if there are more spots to go for men than there are for women. And it's easier to go for men. We don't need as much privacy. We all hunker down next to each other, like less than a foot away at times, and that's not cool or fun or fascinating or non-pressuring, but we do. And you guys get your own, you get personal space.
Oh, it's just lovely.
It's lovely.
No, they're spaced out well, I think. The key thing, as we all learn from a young age and develop, is you go in non-peak times. You can't go right when a period of play is over in a hockey game.
Or at the end of an inning.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if you have to, you have to, but you need to try and plan ahead.
I think basketball, it's easier. You won't miss anything critical. Hockey, you could miss a goal. Mm-hmm. And God knows soccer. The play doesn't stop for 45, 46, 47 minutes, a half.
Just wear a diaper.
So you could miss the only goal. Yeah. Yes, pretend you're an addicted gambler. I keep hearing those stories about...
Do people do that in casinos?
I can't believe that happens. And I'm worried that it does, but I can't believe that it happens.
See, yeah.
Are you a casino attendee?
I've actually never been to a casino other than Dave and Buster's about 15 years ago.
That doesn't count. Although, you know, there are games of chance at Dave and Buster's.
I'm not against casinos.
No.
I am against wearing diapers at casinos, but I'm not against casinos.
Now, that's like golf with me. I just turn down every invitation I get to play golf. Do people ask you and they'll go, hey, big girls weekend, casino Niagara? And are you like, no, I'd rather do something else?
I don't think those words have ever come out of my friend's mouth.
Girls weekend at casino Niagara doesn't come out of anyone's mouth?
I'm sure it's a lovely time, but... Yeah. I'll go eventually. It's because I've never been to Vegas, too, which is poor. I should have gone when I lived out west. That was a mistake. We make mistakes in life.
We make mistakes.
We live with regret.
With travel. Now, by the way, we should mention, Amy Trask is going to be on our show,
yes.
The former Oakland Raiders and L.A. Raiders executive, and she's just become a rising media star on CBS with their NFL pregame show in the morning.
So smart.
And CBS Sports Radio.
I'm excited to have her on.
Well, she's as smart as we are. We try not to have people, like, we don't try and, you know, you and I, like, look at where we went to, you know, we went to the Harvard of Southern Ontario.
Yeah, so some say. That's, yeah, that's correct.
It's not, we're not Guelph Griffins or Windsor Lancers, I mean, we could, or Mac Marauders, Carolyn.
We could have been doctors.
We're Western Mustangs.
We decided not to focus on the sciences and instead do sports broadcasting.
Again, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Now, do you follow the edict now that the university has set out and you'd never refer to it as UWO? Because I won't do that. Now it's like, you just University of Western.
No.
Or Western University is
what
you're supposed to call
it. I don't call it Western University. Because to me, that doesn't make sense.
That's not where I went. I went to UWO.
Yeah, and it's also Western Ontario. It's not, you know?
Yes. Yeah, the university is not located in Sarnia.
No.
Or Chatham.
Or British Columbia.
See, there's. I hope these communities aren't upset. Like, it's not, we're not saying those communities suck or anything. They're nice
towns. No, you're just saying it's.
But they're not London either. I mean, let's be fair here.
Well, no. I am going to go back for homecoming, though, I think.
I've never... Actually, that's not true. I haven't gone back for homecoming in a long time.
Yeah, but it's the real homecoming, because now the students, they do a fake homecoming, the old real one at the end of September, right? Because they still want to party then. But the university's changed it to October because they don't want kids to party. But this is not how it works. If you tell them not to, they will find a way to do it.
I feel like I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, I took my sons back and I drove them through the campus area.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, so I did, and I showed them the residences because I'm like, and this is, you know, you could live here. This is Alumni House, which I'm old enough to know. I think Alumni House came into existence a year or two before I started university. So it was brand new, whereas Saugeen was really old and stanky. And there was Medway, Sydenham. Like, I'm thinking of all the residents' names.
Delaware. I was in Delaware.
Yes, right at the bottom of UC Hill, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Perfect location. It was the closest one to all the classes.
And when I was there, that must have been close to Frosh Weekend, because they were setting up for some big concert on the hill with, like, barriers and lights and everything. It could have been a really, really big show. Or could have been not. Could have been somebody I've never heard of before.
It was just all the geese congregating. That's... starting a revolution.
And I can't get used to the stadium being where it is, because when I did football games in university, Little Stadium was across from the practice football fields, and the Huron Flats were nothing but softball fields.
Oh, really?
And then they've obviously built, TD Waterhouse Stadium. So...
I think that all our listeners who didn't go to Western are really enjoying this.
It's an education about education.
But I'll go back and I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah. I'd say it's a more serious note. We saw this story yesterday before we get to Amy about a young fan, a girl, almost a toddler, who's 2 or 3, and she got hit by a foul ball at the Twins-Yankees game. They don't know. She's not in a life-threatening condition, but she was going to the game with her grandparents. And basically, they stop the game for a good 10, 11 minutes. Like, usually you don't. If it's an adult, they'll help you and they'll get you assistance and you'll go up the stairs. And if you got hit by a ball or an errant hockey puck. But it's raised the specter again of, I think, where is it safe at a ball game? Where is it not? And also, you've heard these debates. Should there be netting almost all the way around? Like, not just behind home plate. Not where that lady with the scarf sits and Geddy Lee. But all the way up the third baseline, past the dugouts, and all the way. It's really tricky, because I remember when I came in for hockey, there was a terrible story of this girl passing away at a Columbus game with a deflected shot, and she was behind the net, but there wasn't netting behind the nets at the time. And then they changed it. They changed it for all the junior rinks, all the minor league rinks, all the NHL rinks. And we just accept it now. We got used to it, and nobody even would think to complain about it now. But at the time, my recollection is... doing radio in Detroit, is it was very 50-50. People are like, I pay for those seats. I want the idea that I could get a hockey puck. I like the... I'm not looking through netting. And now if you go with friends and sit at the ACC, do you even notice it's there?
Nope.
Behind the net? You don't.
No.
Not once.
And I think they should do the same for baseball. Because I think the argument now has been... don't sit in certain areas or always be alert and paying attention when you are sitting in certain areas. But it's just not worth it. It's not worth it for Major League Baseball. Protect your fans. You don't want these things to happen.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to, you don't want it to take something tragic for it to finally change.
Yeah. And that's it was a terrible thing that ended up happening. Now, this girl with her grandparents, they were about 5 rows right on top of the dugout on the third base side where the Yankees are. And I get that it's cool to sit there. You might get, like, I see kids there with parents all the time. You might get a ball tossed to you, right? Everybody wants that. But what's the risk reward for, like, a screaming check swing. And we were even saying on the morning show this morning, the bats that fly into the stands. Like Edwin Encarnacion, it felt like, would lose his handle on a bat and swing it over the third base dugout like twice a week.
And not just a bat, but even a broken bat,
A broken
too.
Bat. Great
I
point.
Mean,
the shards of it.
It's like
shrapnel.
So, it's just not worth it. And the thing, too, I think with fans is, sure, you're going to be careful. But, I mean, are you telling me that even you sitting there the whole game is watching every single pitch? No, nobody is.
No, and I think there's still that concept. Maybe it's just the sort of, like, internet tough guy thing where they're like, pay attention, protect your kids. And we don't do that for every single pitch. If you're in the third row and a 100-mile-per-hour liner comes directly at you, you tell me how many of these tough guys saying pay attention could get out of the way. They might. Maybe they get a hand up. Maybe they block it. But I've seen guys really, men and women, really paying attention. They get a screamer sent at them at a baseball game or a deflected slap shot, and they just aren't ready for it. They just don't react the way they think they would. It's 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, protect your fans, protect the players in doing that too. I mean, a lot of the players, they were torn. People are shedding a tear on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's not worth it.
It's not. It really doesn't diminish the viewing pleasure.
No.
And there's so many. I bet you. You know, there wasn't a lot of talk radio when they invented seatbelts, but I'm sure people called up and go, I don't think so. I don't want my movement restricted. And now, or even like when they had. It used to be just you probably grew up and in the back seat of your parents' car was just a lap belt.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Like, barely anything was there to protect you. Or you sat on a booster seat that was like a block.
Yeah.
Like a brick. And now, believe me.
My parents had the Volvo where you sit in the trunk. Remember, you could sit in the trunk and face backwards.
You've probably stepped into cars that have baby seats in them, and it's 2.5 years of fumbling with hooks and latches and stuff that I never want to relive again because it gets complicated.
Yeah.
And then you turn them around, and then they're on a booster. So, but
just
you do it.
Just be safe, everyone. Do it.
Great advice. You have to do it. I mean, there was, the reason why base coaches wear helmets now is because in the minor leagues, a base coach lost his life. He was killed by a line drive. So I know base coaches thought, I'll look stupid. I'm not playing in the game.
Get over it.
Yeah, but you'll be alive.
Yeah.
You know, now we don't even give it a second thought.
No.
We don't even consider the concept that you'd step out there and just wearing, as we know, batters used to play without ball caps.
I know.
Hockey player. My dad played high school hockey without a helmet.
Oh, I know.
Not to age you, Dad, but you did.
I think
it was after World War II, but you still did.
I think after this, change will come.
Yeah.
Enough players spoke out about it even after the game that I think change will come.
Yeah, Todd Frazier said how unbelievably upset he was. Like, he welled up. He felt terrible.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you see a baby, you see a toddler, you see somebody in crisis with their kid. Think of the grandkids.
The grandparents
take somewhere.
Oh, I know.
When our kids go somewhere with either set of our parents, and we're lucky we have all four parents, we still worry. We worry more than we would if we had them because we don't want them feeling terrible if there's even a fender bender because then you get in, oh my gosh, will they trust us with our grandkids again? And they want to do stuff.
When I saw it.
Bingo. Exactly. On a lighter and yet just as responsible note, we're very happy to have our next guest on. She's a former CEO of the Oakland/Los Angeles Raiders. There are good times with the Raiders, but also strange circumstances in that they will move to Las Vegas and set up shop a couple years after the NHL arrives. The NFL will arrive. She also has a very exciting best-selling book she's had out for a good 6-7 months now. We're very pleased to welcome in Amy Trask from CBS Sports. I'll start with 2 weeks in, and I know you've talked about this on the CBS Sunday Morning Show. Because we saw week one, offenses struggled. Week two, offenses struggled in some NFL cities. There's been a lot of debate this week, and I'm sure it might get covered this Sunday, about offensive lines in the NFL and practice time, and that we may not have a quarterback crisis, but we may not have enough left tackles and centers that are highly proficient, maybe less so than we did 7-8 years ago. How do you view it?
Well, we did discuss this last week, and I'm sure we'll discuss it again. You raise a terrific point. Sort of as a intro matter to this, we talk in general that at this time of year, defenses are ahead of offenses. So some of that may factor into this as well. But offensive line play does appear to be compromised in a number of places throughout the year. Is that because there are not enough good available offensive linemen? Maybe. Is that because of the schemes that are now being run in college? Maybe. Is that because of coaching? Maybe. Is that because of the collective bargaining rules that limit padded practices? Maybe. And perhaps rather than saying maybe, I should have been saying perhaps or possibly or yes in part to each of these factors. I think a lot of things factor in, but we are seeing poor offensive line play in a lot of places throughout the league.
It's one of those things because quarterbacks are, not that we're in a golden age, but we have a lot of experienced veteran quarterbacks, and then we have I wouldn't say a gap, but there are young ones that we're all super excited about. We obviously have a Derek Carr, who you're very familiar with. Your former organization drafted him in 2014. Cam Newton, obviously, is struggling with his shoulder. Mariota and Winston, we talk about. But they need the time to throw. They need the time to process. They all don't have the same escapability, and that's factored into what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
Well, I agree with you entirely. There are some tremendous veterans. Last week we got to see Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Ryan. You know, there are some really good veteran quarterbacks, as well as a whole slew of exciting young quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, you mentioned Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to have a dominant offensive line for a couple of reasons, to protect these quarterbacks and give them the time to throw that you mentioned, but also to support a solid running game. Because as we know, all of this links together. The better you run the ball, the better your passing game is. The better your passing game is, the better you run the ball. It all works together.
When we compare the NFL to a lot of the other big sports, especially the Big Four, you see the NFL in the news and it's for what's happening on the field. But compared to a lot of the other leagues, it's for the relationship between the Players Association and the league as a whole. Do you see that relationship getting better through the years or has it gotten worse?
From my perspective, it's gotten markedly worse and I hope it gets better. Look, I certainly understand and I agree with the fact that the NFL Players Association has a very, very important job to do for the players. And I note that because what I'm about to say may sound as if it's directed only to the Players Association. And, you know, again, they do have an important job to do. But that relationship took a very, very marked turn for the worse when Dee Smith became the head of the union. And, you know, it's not 100% on Dee, of course. Nothing ever tends to be 100% one person's fault. But when you hire a litigator to run a business, don't be surprised that that litigation mentality spills into business. At the end of the day, and I'm going to keep underscoring, I recognize and I commend the NFLPA for doing what it does for the players. But if we're talking about what's good for the game, there needs to be what I consider the four most important words in business: cooperate, communicate, collaborate, coordinate. And the Players Association and the league need to do this together for the good of the game. Yeah. Not everything needs to be an argument.
The NFL-CBA doesn't come up for another 3 years, but in every other pro sport, and tell us with your vast experience whether the NFL will still be unique, that we won't ever see an 82 strike, an 87 strike again, but every other labor union for pro sports in North America, it feels like, has tested the waters, has missed exhibition games, obviously full seasons in the NHL's case, partial seasons in the NBA's case. Is it that the careers are so short and the footing is so fragile for players that they simply, it's too much to risk? It's too much to risk missing eight paychecks when the career may only be 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, I think you stated that beautifully, and there's not a lot I can add. I was in the league during the 87 work stoppage. I was in the league when a lockout was possible not too long ago. It was averted. But you're right. Careers are, for the most part, very, very short. You know, we think about players like Peyton Manning or Brett Favre or others who played a very, very long time. That's not the norm. That's the aberration. And so, you know, think about it from a personal perspective. If you knew that your career might be 2 or 3 or 4 years, Are you willing to give up a year? Are you willing to give up 33% of your career or 25% of your career to achieve some goals that may benefit those who come after you? Some players may well be willing to do that. Others won't. And, you know, the owners factor that into their analysis.
If there was one thing that you could change about the NFL and if you were in charge for a day, what would it be?
Ooh. Well, I'll come back to what I said before. I would like to see a dramatic shift in the relationship between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. I would like that relationship to become more communicative and cooperative and collaborative, because at the end of the day, it's in everyone's best interest for the players and the owners to compromise to make the game as good as it can be. And again, without foisting all the blame onto D. Smith, look, I was there when he took over as head of the union, and everything became a fight. You could have a meeting about a substantive issue and ask for a pencil to start the meeting, and there'd be an argument as to whether it should be a number two pencil or not. Not everything has to be an argument. So that would be what I would work to change, the relationship between the parties.
Amy Trask is joining us from CBS, CBS Sports. I know we're tight for time. I want to mention Chicago Green Bay comes back Thursday Night Football back on CBS a week from this Thursday. And great games this weekend, including Kansas City at the Chargers. The AFC West is what I want to ask you about. It's an unbelievably competitive division, it seems like. But I look back, all three teams that we're talking about that are 2-0, that we're all impressed by Amy so far, were 6-2 at the midway point last season. Then they start to play each other. Then they start to butt heads. The Chiefs kind of spiraled down, and Oakland lost Derek Carr, and no one in that. And Denver obviously faded down the stretch with Trevor Siemian in December. How do you handicap that division? And are you like that, thinking, well, yeah, they're great out of the gate, but the fact they have to beat each other up twice a season means we're not going to have 12-4, 13-3, three of those teams in one division when it's all said and done.
Well, your math is right. They have to play one another. And by definition, unless there's a tie, those wins and losses are going to tally up for each of them. I think what's fascinating about the division is this. Last year, Kansas City won that division fair and square. And by fair and square, I mean, you know, of course, I'm not suggesting others aren't fair and square. But they won the division. They didn't back into a division title. They tied with the Raiders in terms of record, I believe. But they beat the Raiders twice. And what I think is interesting is a lot of attention on the Raiders, as well there should be. It's an exciting, exciting team in many regards. Marshawn Lynch has added a whole different persona to the team. It's an exciting team, and the focus is on the Raiders. But Kansas City went out and beat Oakland twice last year, both games Carr played. So it is going to be a tight division race until they start playing one another and things sort out. And look, having spent almost 30 years in the AFC West, I love nothing better than seeing a strong AFC West.
The book, by the way, is called, if you haven't picked it up yet, you should. We picked it up months ago here. You Negotiate Like a Girl, Reflections on a Career in the National Football League. The Kindle edition is now $9.99 Canadian. I wanted you to know that. A bargain for us here north of the 49th parallel. And it's that other pregame show, 8 a.m. Sundays Eastern Time on CBS, which is a great watch. Adam Schein, Bart Scott, many others. We can't thank you enough for some time. You're always a pleasure to listen to, and your insights are always welcome here.
Well, it is always my pleasure to join you, and I will tell you, let me share this, it'll just be our little secret, you know, yours, mine, ours, and everyone who's listening. Special, special spot in my heart for Canada, it's where I spent my honeymoon.
Oh, whereabouts?
Banff, and ooh, that whole area, Banff, Lake Louise, Banff, you know, that whole area.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Not on the NFL expansion list, but that's a good thing for we have enough franchises move, so it'd be a great place to have an NFL team, but it's not on the list right now that I see.
And my next phone call will be from my husband saying, you talked about our honeymoon on the air. Why?
You said only good things. You
yes.
said only good things.
Yeah, exactly. You're safe.
It makes for a great honeymoon, makes for a strong marriage. I'm reasonably living proof. Amy, thanks again. We really appreciate you fitting us in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
That's a great chat with Amy Trask, former CEO of the Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders. That book is called You Negotiate Like a Girl, on her experience as an NFL executive. Blazing trails left, right, and center, and she's been great on CBS and CBS Sports Network. The Raiders play Washington on Sunday Night Football. They're 2-0. Kansas City's 2-0. Denver's 2-0. And as we were talking about, it's quite an arms race. Any one of those teams could probably play the New England Patriots in the AFC title game. So could Pittsburgh. But the good thing is they haven't played each other yet. So when they do that, things will get knocked down a little bit. Everybody thinks they're all great right now, but that's how divisions go in the NFL. You got to play each other, and then all of a sudden your record gets worse. Someone has to win and someone has to lose, Carolyn, as you well know with sports.
It's early, Greg. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying in sports, but
it's early. Now, it's not early in our podcast, so we roll right into on a tight deadline because you're...
What up with that?
You're on vacation for the next 2 weeks. So
yes,
I hope
I'll be away for 2 weeks.
But will there be stories?
Oh, I think so.
When you return?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Of the funny variety, I hope. I don't find this very funny, and apparently Kevin Durant doesn't either. So he has a, I guess you could call it a burner account, we were calling it at work, a secondary Twitter account. And he uses this account, it seems, to follow what people are saying about him, because he made the mistake of being logged into his public account and berating fans who were speaking ill towards him. And that he was talking about himself in the third person. It looked really bad. Now, he owned up to it. He didn't pull the old, oh, I got hacked. He said it was me. But I just think this is so sad that after all he's accomplished, all he's been through, there's still that doubt in him. And the self-confidence is not there.
That he just hears just a random person can criticize him, and he takes it so personally.
And he has to be seeking it out. He has a secondary account to find these people that are saying bad things about him.
Yeah, he said,
and then speak out against them.
It's kind of mortifying. And he said he hadn't slept, he hadn't ate well, and we all have had those feelings for something professionally or personally for 2 days. But there you go. There's a guy, $30 million a year, gold medal, NBA title, MVP. And you're right. Why get so rattled? And I always feel like if I was the uber famous person, like Tom Hanks is on Twitter, he has something to say, boom, signs at Hanks. Gone.
Leave.
No, like, hey, I don't need to defend Forrest Gump. I don't need to, if you say I didn't deserve my Philadelphia Oscar, I'm not going to argue with you on Twitter. I'm Tom Hanks. Why do I need to do that?
Enough is out there, too, on Twitter that Kevin Durant would see it anyway. Why put yourself through seeking it out if you know that you need the affirmation? And the issue now, and it's kind of ironic, is... he was seeking this out because he wants the validation and he doesn't want people to think poorly of him. Now people are going to think even more of him.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's I think, one of the villains headed into this NBA season. Not just because he joined Golden State and won a title with them and people thought that's the easy way, but now this.
Yeah, he couldn't win already because generally you got to innovate or create. Like, that's why we give Bill Belichick, Tom Brady so much credit, because the Patriots weren't any good before they got there. So Kevin Durant didn't make Golden State really good they were before.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was awesome before he got there. Klay Thompson was good before he got there. They won 73 games before he got there. They won an NBA title before he got there. So all you look like you're doing, it was the only thing that could have gone wrong for Durant, is people saying they would have done something without you. Like, that's a bad feel. That's a harsh feeling to feel you did so much to work towards a success. And all people will do, most people who are objective about it will say, they still would have done it without you. That hurt.
Like, but not everyone is going to like you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact. So at least be respect. I mean, you want to be respected more than liked.
All right. You know how, I think I mentioned to you how I cheer for certain couples in relationships.
Oh, yes. Uh-oh.
Now, this isn't
okay?
One. Yeah. With me, yes.
No, I mean another celebrity couple.
You're like Dr. Laura here. Do I have to lie down to tell my story?
No, we don't have enough time.
So I see this, that Billy Bush and his wife have separated.
I did not see that.
So they were married 20 years. Now, I just looked at Billy Bush and I thought, okay, I don't think he was my cup of tea TV-wise, hosting Access Hollywood, getting on the Today Show. But famously, right, he's in the... Now, this was an old video of him and Donald Trump on the bus. You saw it, I saw it, everybody listening saw it. Okay, awful, yes.
Yeah.
And it's Trump doing most of the bragging, but it's Bush participating... And his own, Trump's own wife, his third wife, Melania, basically said the other guy, which I don't think she knew Billy's name, was egging him on. So she has now separated with him. Now, my comment on this, and I thought long and hard about it, is if this is If he was generally a jerk and this was the last straw, that's one thing. But if you like, let's say you were married to Billy Bush and you loved him and you're like, okay, we've got three kids. You're a great dad. I can see this through. If you're just tired of like going to dinner or going to the neighbor's house and all people can think of is the tape, I think that's a little bit on her. You've got to push past that. Now, I don't know, right? We don't never know when couples break up.
Well, that's what I was going to
say. We'll never know about Brangelina and Bennifer and why things don't work out in life sometimes.
That looked so poorly on him, though, that video coming to light, because it's not that he just kind of stood there and let Trump say his thing. He was actively participating.
And I know...
And trying to kind of... It seems like the kid in school trying to be cool to the older kid in school.
Totally, that's what it was. That's a great, great way to put it. And that said, I know when something goes on tape, you'd think, really now? Is this the only time he's ever talked like that? Well, probably not. But if he was a, again, faithful husband, great, you know, you want to marry your best friend and still have romance. You're looking for everything. He's a great dad, three kids. You lasted 20 years somehow through thick and thin. I feel terrible if the tape broke up a two-decade marriage. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong, but we don't know what broke up.
We don't know.
We would be awful entertainment reporters. See, I'm not very good at just saying, this is what went wrong in their relationship, some entertainment shows.
But my first thought was almost like, I hope...
The timing is...
Yeah, I hope it's more than the... could she not get past the embarrassment? Like, it's more the embarrassment of the tape. It's not, like, I'll find you worse people than Billy Bush, because they're either in jail or they're on trial. They're Bill Cosby, right? They're not... Billy Bush isn't Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby's wife's still with Bill Cosby. I'm going to go crazy here.
You should start a celebrity
celebrity
blog.
That's husband
what you can
and wife
do when, that's what you can do when I'm away for a couple weeks. You can start a...
Who was the last couple we took? Chris Pratt and Anna Faris? And we're
bad. I was upset about that
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Rachel Bilson and Hayden Christensen just broke up.
I did not know that. Let's go close to your very close to your heart. What if Roger and what's her name ever had problems?
Oh,
they have two sets of twins.
Craig.
That's enough to drive
Craig,
to drive a wedge
you,
between
no.
a couple.
Everything's fine. They're fine. Depends how the Laver Cup.
If we wouldn't have been able to make it through the podcast without mentioning the Laver Cup's happening. Well, maybe I was hopeful, but it's here.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
We'll see how it goes. And did we want to end with anything else, or are we done?
I think that's good. I'm pretty upset still from the whole celebrity couple conversation.
I know.
I think I need a moment.
I know. Check us out on iTunes. Please feel free to rate us there. We will have auditions, deep, probing auditions to find a replacement for Carolyn over the next 2 weeks
Great.
In the fall.
I'm being replaced.
I don't expect anyone taking I'm not allowed to step out for a half day
in
October.
Everyone took it in the summer.
That's true. That's a good point.
Gee, I sound defensive.
Thanks to Amy Trask for joining us. Have a great time away.
Thanks.
And you'll be back in very early October for, you know, baseball playoffs, hockey season,
yes.
NFL, on and on. MLS playoffs in this city should be fun. We'll see everyone next week. Carolyn will see you in 3 weeks.
See ya.
You've been listening to Point Taken with Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady on sportsnet.ca/590.